We are very fortunate to have His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.55 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, verse number 55 onward. Now, next, almost 9 to 10 verses, it's almost like the description of the city and how it is decorated, how opulent it is. And then about Uttanapad, King Uttanapad, Dhruva's father, leaving the palace and going to forest for self-realization. So even though there are purports, we'll discuss little bit and maybe we'll go to the next chapter. We'll do Mangala Charan and we'll start. Ramagyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Gadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Chaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Radhikam Shri Vishakha Vitamsa Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminate Namine Namaste Saraste Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Bhema Pradayate Vishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratashe Namah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpata Rubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I think a lot of disturbance is coming from your side.
Shall I put the phone on mute?
No. You yeah. Come closer to your microphone.
Now is it okay?
Yeah.
Yes. I just kept the phone on the loudspeaker, so I was doing Mangala Charan. So, we have been discussing this and Dhruva has come back. And as I said, not many philosophical points. Rather some description, which is also important. This is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not many purports, so I'll just read few translation. So it is 4.9.55 onwards. At each and every gate, there were burning lamps and big water pots decorated with differently colored cloth, strings of pearls, flower garlands, and hanging mango leaves. 56.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can you read shloka also, please?
Okay. I'll recite all shlokas. So, 55. Suta Pallava Vasa Ashranam Mukta Dhamma Vilambibi Upaskritam prati dwaram apam kumbhai
Sadipakai. At each and every gate, there were burning lamps and big water pots decorated with differently colored cloth, strings of pearls, flower garlands, and hanging mango leaves. These are the auspicious things which we also do, especially on the times of festival. So Dhruva's coming back was a festival for everyone. And earlier time, if you read description in Ramayana also, or even Krishna coming back to Dwarka from Hastinapur, these kind of descriptions are there. That means apart from this recent industrialized modern age, these things were quite same. Dhruva was in Satyoga, Lord Ram in Treta, and Krishna was towards the end of Dwapar Yuga. After that, even in Kali Yuga it continued. But only now this industrialized iron age, and now there's not even iron, it's only plastic. You have now mango leaves, which are plastic leaves. They look very green, and they're already in the string with some plastic marigold flowers and plastic mango leaves and some plastic light, which will look like pearls. Christmas was there, I think, 2 days back. So even if you see the concept of Christmas tree, it is, I don't know from where it has originated, from some mind, but it has some connection. If you see, it is all nature. Vedic decoration is all about nature. And Prabhupada will talk in one of the purport that how this is the real opulence. And opulence was measured in terms of how much natural wealth a person has, which we'll read ahead. So next, 56. Prakarair gopura gai shatakumbha parichadde sarvato alankritam shrimad vimana shikharadyubhi. In the capital city, there were many palaces, city gates, and surrounding walls, which were already very, very beautiful. And on this occasion, all of them were decorated with golden ornaments. The domes of the city palaces glittered, as did the domes of the beautiful airplanes which hovered over the city. Purport. Regarding the mention of airplane, it is suggested by Srimad Vijayadwaj Tirtha that on this occasion, the demigod from the higher planetary systems also came in their airplanes to bestow their blessings on Dhruva Maharaj on his arrival at the capital of his father. It also appears that all the domes of the city palaces as well as the pinnacles of the airplanes were decorated with ornamental work in gold, and being reflected by the sunshine, they were all glittering. We can observe a specific distinction between Dhruva Maharaj's time and modern days. For the planes in those days were made of gold, whereas at the present moment, airplanes are made of base aluminium. This just gives a hint of opulence of Dhruva Maharaj's days and poverty of modern times. So gold is always gold. And still, we can see how nowadays people hardly get gold. Gold has become so costly. That means people in this modern world are becoming poorer day by day. So sometime back I came across something which mentions that how even rich people in this world today, they have these bathrooms with taps fitted with golden taps or at least gold pleated. Even their bathrooms, the handle or the latch of the doors, and someone has like the plane in interior is many things made up of gold. So gold is also valued in terms of, not only terms of the value of money, but in terms of decoration. It shows the opulence. So we can see this, these things are all coming from previous ages. Gold still has own charm, as they say. And also mentions in this verse that the demigods also came to bless Dhruva. That was the opulence of Dhruva Maharaj. In Mahabharata we read, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was performing any yajna, the demigod would come and visit. Nowadays, when you perform any fire sacrifice, we recite the names of demigods, apart from Lord Vishnu, and we consider they are there. But in the previous time, they used to physically be present at the time of fire sacrifice. Well, Lord Vishnu will come. And then the fire sacrifice would be considered successful. So till the time, result has not, even though our philosophy, Vedic philosophy, is focused more on the action rather than the result, but still result is important. That will prove that your actions are right. So Kali Yuga, what hope we have? Srila Prabhupada says, one who takes up this process of devotional service given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has already achieved success. Why? Just keep the photo of Panchtattva, sit in front of that, and chant Hare Krishna mantra. You are performing the yajna, and the yajna purush, Bhaktaram, that personality is already manifested there. So that is the only thing we can do. That's why Prabhupada and all the acharyas has laid so much emphasis on this Sankirtan Yajna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his associate Sangoparshadam have already manifested here. That is the only success. Any other activity in this entire world will not give result. Desired result. Desired result means one which will give happiness. So that will not give, any other activity apart from devotional service will not give happiness. We can understand from this. That is yajna. Then we go to 57. Mrishta chatvara ratyata margam chandana charchitam lajakshatai pushpafalais tandulair balibhiryutam. All the quadrangles, lanes and streets in the city and the raised sitting places at the crossings were thoroughly cleansed and sprinkled with sandalwood water and auspicious grains such as rice and barley, and flowers, fruits and many other auspicious presentations were scattered all over the city. This kind of description we read again and again, again and again in entire Bhagavatam. Whenever any personality, whether it is Supreme Lord or any other pure devotee comes, this kind of description is mentioned. Even I heard that sometime back, even now, some cities they clean it very nicely in the world, at least with water. They clean the road. Any personality is coming, like president will come or something, they'll clean and make sure everything is decorated. Try to do as much as possible. In this, it is spoken about these auspicious things: sandalwood water, or grains, auspicious grains and flowers and fruits. And in this connection, it is mentioned that there were, small forests which were maintained for two different purposes. One was, some trees were only used for decoration. and some trees were used for wood to make furniture. So this was there. Now because the forests are not maintained, so there is no question of getting good flowers or good fruits. It's all artificial. It's all chemicals. I don't know about at your temple, but in Bombay we don't get original good flowers which are fragrant. They look good, but they're not fragrant. Like in Vrindavan you see so fragrant flowers, because still there are villages where people are maintaining this. But in cities, very difficult. Then 58 and 59. Dhruvaya pati drishtaya tatra tatra purastriya siddharaksha dadi ambu durva pushpa falani cha upajarhu prayunjana vatsalayad ashisha sati shrinvam sadvalgu gitani pravishad bhavanam pitu. Thus, as Dhruva Maharaj passed on the road, from every place in the neighborhood, all the gentle household ladies assembled to see him. And out of material affection, they offered their blessings, showering him with white mustard seed, barley, yogurt, water, newly grown grass, fruits and flowers. In this way, Dhruva Maharaj, while hearing the pleasing songs sung by the ladies, entered the palace of his father. Anyways, there was some affection. We don't know, it's not mentioned, but there was affection from his mother, and ladies, they would have some affection. They will not discriminate so much. But when Dhruva left, the people who didn't support, like the stepmother of Dhruva, like his father didn't support him, and any other, because Dhruva became pure devotee. It is mentioned, I think you would have discussed already in this starting of this chapter. Dhruva became pure devotee, completely realized. So anyone who will be inimical or who will not having any affection, they will also develop the affection. As for six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it is mentioned whether a person is a gentle person or a ruffian, he will respect six Goswamis. So when a person is fully Krishna conscious, realized, then even people who are not Krishna conscious, they will respect him. That is how the pure devotee is taken care by Lord. So here we see how these ladies all came on the streets and gifted different items and showering white mustard seeds and pleasing Dhruva by singing the songs. That is how Dhruva entered the palace. Verse number 60. Mahamani vratamaye satasmin bhavontame lalito nitaram pitra nevasad dividevata devavat. Dhruva Maharaj thereafter lived in his father's palace, which had walls bedecked with highly valuable jewels. His affectionate father took particular care of him, and he dwelled in that house just as the demigods live in their palaces in the higher planetary system. Obviously, Uttanapad was so rich. He was a king, and he was also a devotee. So he had all of the opulence like demigods. Sometimes these Raja Rishis have more opulence than the demigods because of their added devotional service, like Dhruva Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj. All these were pure devotees, so they were more opulent in terms of qualities and in terms of wealth, more than demigods. Next verse. Payafena nibhashaya danta rukma parichada asnani maharani yatra rokma upaskara The bedding in the palace was as white as the foam of milk and was very soft. The bedsteads were made up of ivory with embellishments of gold, and the chairs, benches, and other sitting places and furniture were made up of gold. 62nd verse. Yatra spatika kuddeshu mahamaraka teshu cha mani pradipa abhanti lalana ratna samyutaha. The palace of the king was surrounded by walls made of marble with many engravings made of valuable jewels like sapphires, which depicted beautiful women with shining jewel lamps in their hands. Purport. The description of King Uttanapad's palace depicts the state of affairs many hundreds and thousands of years ago. Long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled, because this was Satyuga, and Bhagavatam was compiled at the end of Dwapar Yuga. Since it is described that Maharaj Dhruva ruled for 36,000 years, he must have lived in the Satyuga, when people live for 100,000 years. The life durations in the four yugas are also mentioned in the Vedic literature. In Satyuga, people used to live for 100,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, people live for 10,000 years. In Dwapar Yuga, they live for 1,000 years. And in this Kali Yuga, people may live up to 100 years. With the progressive advance of each new yuga, the duration of life is reduced by 90%. From 100,000 to 10,000, from 10,000 to 1,000, and from 1,000 to 100. It is said that Dhruva Maharaj was the great grandson of Lord Brahma. Brahma's son was Swayambhu Manu, and his son was Uttanapad, and Uttanapad's son was Dhruva. This indicates that Dhruva Maharaj's time was in the Satyuga, in the beginning of creation. During one day of Lord Brahma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, there are many Satyugas. According to the Vedic calculation, at the present moment, the 28th millennium is current. It can be calculated that Dhruva Maharaj lived many millions of years ago, but the description of the palace of Dhruva's father is so glorious that we cannot accept that. Advanced human civilization did not exist even 40 or 50,000 years ago. There were walls like those in the palace of Maharaj Uttanapad. Even very recently, during the Mughal period, anyone who has seen the Red Fort in Delhi must have marked that the walls are made up of marble and were once decorated with jewels. During the British period, all these jewels were taken away and dispatched to the British Museum. So here Prabhupada is coming to the logical conclusion that we cannot accept that advanced civilization did not exist even 40 or 50,000 years ago. Prabhupada is only counting 40 or 50,000 years ago. But if you see, the age of Satyuga is 17,28,000 years. And this is starting of Satyuga. And then Treta Yuga, Lord Ram's, is 12,96,000 years. And then Dwapar Yuga, 8,64,000 years. And then Kali Yuga. So actually it is not only 40-50,000 years, it is practically 40-50 lakhs of years. At least 40 lakhs. And the civilization was so advanced that today's people, just to show their superiority, everyone wants to show their superiority because having this nature of controller, this tendency of controllership, that, you know, we are superior. If you see all over the world, we are the superior race, we are the superior race. Finally, the Germans came. We are the supreme race existed on this planet. And then they said that Sanskrit is our language. So then finally some discussion and all went on, and some people from India, and then they finally proved that no, Sanskrit is not our language. And then they said Sanskrit is the language which came from another language, which is our language. So basically trying to prove, and now also they like Germans, they say we are the Aryans. But Prabhupada gives the definition of Aryan, one who is for the follower of Vedic civilization. So we can see that this tendency to prove yourself superior, whether on the individual level or on the level of family, the family lineage, the society, the caste, the religion, the nation, at any level or every level, people want to be superior. So these modern people, they say that we are ultra-modern, we are highly advanced people present on this planet. And earlier, they were only tribals. And then they show something that this is not developed, this is not advanced. But here Prabhupada is saying that it is not that tribals can have this. Forget about knowledge, the kind of knowledge which Vedic civilization has given, that we cannot even compare with today's knowledge. Today there is no knowledge, only ignorance. But even we see the house, their palaces, and the demigods coming in their planes, and these planes do not need any fuel. Now that is something. People are talking about electric cars and the cars which will run on water. But nobody in the world can even think of a machinery running without the fuel. It's not that Indra has to feed every day Airavat, some tons of grains, and then Airavat will say, okay, now you sit on me and I'll take you. But I'll not give a good mileage. Not like that. They're all flying by the desire. That kind of advancement. This is all subtle. Here we are talking about the gross. So we can see how even the archaeologists, they have found some cities when they dig, and they see how cities are very nicely channelized and canals and all that, everything. And the description, if you read in Mahabharata, there also you get, and in the description of Ramayana, how the city Ayodhya, very beautiful description, and very systematic, very organized. It was not that some tribals were living and then it became very chaotic, and there's no, like they portray, there's no proper sanitation system. Everything was there. Everything was, people are talking about having bathrooms in the house. Especially in the third world countries, Asian countries, and India and all that, we should have bathroom in the house and all that. They're making movies and all based on this. Earlier, such a huge population, they didn't have bathroom. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, King Ugrasen, in Dwarka, when Ugrasen was ruling in Dwarka, he had 4 billion soldiers. 4 billion. That's more than half of the population of today's world. 4 billion. How many of us can digest the fact? One devotee came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I want to preach Krishna consciousness where I'm going, but how to convince people that there are 4 billion soldiers in Ugrasen's army? Prabhupada said, leave that part and preach other parts. Because we have to preach more on philosophy, not on these facts. As in Hindi they say, chamatkar ko namaskar. We don't preach on based on miracles and all this. We preach simple philosophy about the life which everyone will accept. Now 4 billion soldiers and other population, it is not that we can say that they didn't have proper sanitation, a proper eating, a proper bathing facilities. That was all Krishna's arrangement. So in Vedic culture, this knowledge is there that how this you know, things will work, how this and now because of the sinful activities of people of the world, there's shortage of everything. Now they are talking about waterless toilets, where you don't need water. So many things, because they don't have sufficient resources, so they have to struggle to find of newer and newer ways to come up so that we can survive. Struggle for existence. There will be shortage of water. The already fuel is not there, and now they are saying that we will run cars with batteries and water. The water shortage is coming, so then again water will not be there, and electricity is generated because of water. Hydel power, at least, that also will be gone. So gradually, all the resources, because of the effect of Kali, people are becoming more and more and more sinful, all the resources are withdrawn. As in the age of King Vena. I think next will be King Vena. Yes. So King Vena, because he was such demoniac king, Mother Earth, she withdrew all the resources. There were no minerals in the mountains, there were no pearls in the ocean, there were no food grains. And then when Prithu Maharaj came, and finally everything again manifested. So we have to understand, it is not by the mechanical arrangement. It is by following of dharma. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Annat Bhavanti Bhutani. How you will get all the facilities? Just perform your sacrifice. You just do your part, and demigods will take care of their part. One devotee asked Prabhupada that there will be a third world war. Prabhupada said there will be a big war, third world war, which will destroy everything. Which will destroy this demoniac population and demoniac civilization. So then devotee asked that Prabhupada, but that by that time, because nuclear weapons are already there. So then he asked Prabhupada, but there will be nuclear weapons. And once the nuclear weapon, first he asked what will happen to devotees. He said, Prabhupada said, don't worry, nothing will happen to devotees. ISKCON will spread. And devotees will be not affected. So then he asked, but there will be nuclear weapons from many countries. And after the nuclear weapons are released, we cannot live on this planet. There is all radiation everywhere. Papa said, you don't worry. Demigods will come and clean it up. So that means whatever we are finding so difficult, it's very easy. It becomes very simple and easy when we approach through Vedic culture. Because then higher personalities get involved. So we don't have to worry. And that's why Prabhupada time and again has said, it is not because of the population there is scarcity of food. It is because of the demoniac civilization. Population is not much of the world. 4 billion is the army of Ugrasen's, only Dwarka. He had 4 billion people in the army. So we can understand other armies were there. Like Hastinapur was there. So many other kings were there. So what was the population of that time of this tract of land, which is called modern India? Huge. But there was scarcity. And now in further purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the conception of worldly opulence was formerly based mainly on natural resources such as jewels, marble, silk, ivory, gold and silver. The advancement of economic development was not based on big motor cars. Advancement of human civilization depends not on industrial enterprises, but on the possession of natural wealth and natural food, which is all supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we may save time for self-realization and success in the human form of body. forget about non-devotees. This is very important. These four lines are very important for devotees. It connects to Rupa Goswami's shloka from Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Prayasascha. Prayas. People who are not devotees, they are like just very low consciousness, like lower animals, working hard. They do not understand. But who are devotees, who are sadhakas, they understand this. What is prayas? Unfortunately, we still get trapped and we get on the track of prayas. And Prabhupada is saying, I'll just read these four lines. Please listen to this carefully. The conception of worldly opulence was formerly based mainly on natural resources such as jewels, marble, silk, ivory, gold and silver. Now one may say, oh Prabhuji, we have to work so much hard to earn all this. It's not easy to get, you know, ivory and wear silk every day and put marble in the house and get gold and jewelry and silver. And then what Prabhupada is saying, the advancement of economic development not based on big motor cars. Now does we, what we think that one person who has a bigger car or a bigger phone or something, bigger brands of clothes, he is rich. People have so much money and they do not know what to do. So what the businessmen or the other people, they take advantage. If you see these things, you know, like an phone, $1,000, one phone. And in the same country, you get phone for $100 also. But people are crazy for this $1,000 phone. $1,500 for laptop. Why? Because we have money. What to do? So the rich people who have money because of their previous karma and last life, they get money, they get opulence, but they do not know what to do. I was sitting with one of the owner of one college in Bombay. He has few colleges. I was sitting today morning with him. And I said, these subjects like physics, chemistry, mathematics, biology, English, all these subjects are like the things in our house. We have so many things. We have kitchen, and in kitchen there are so many things. We have laptop, we have car, we have mobile, we have, you know, every equipment in the house. These subjects are like that. But the knowledge which comes from Vedic culture, especially Bhagavad Gita, is the knowledge which will tell you how to utilize these things. The knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will tell you how to utilize these subjects. You are a chemical engineer, but what you do with chemical engineering, that you do not know. You are a scientist, but what you do with that knowledge of science, you do not know. So we must give this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to students so they know what to do. Just by becoming a lawyer or engineer or chartered accountant or scientist or a doctor, you may get some money. But you don't know what to do with that money. You do not know what to do with the life. You do not know how to face the life. You do not know how to relish the happiness and how to deal with the distress in the world. So this how part is missing because this knowledge is missing. So much. Like, someone I recently, he kind of, because of a, he's not a devotee, but a businessman, kind of a gesture, he said, you know, I want to give some gift to you. I said, okay. So he gave me a sweater because it's winter. So I said, okay. Then later I saw the price, I was like shocked. That sweater came from Hong Kong and it was like 1,100 Hong Kong dollars. And one Hong Kong dollar is like 9 Indian rupees, which is like 99,000 rupees worth of sweater. If I purchase sweater in India for entire Brahmacharya ashram of our temple, it may not be 99,000 rupees. So people have money, and there are people who are exploiting this money, who are exploiting these people and extracting the money. So all this advancement, so-called advancement, will not lead. Now what happens? Some people say 10% of the population of the world has a lot of money, and they want to show off, and they do that. And that is why all these iPhones and all that become so costly. Now, the people after this 10%, or middle class, or lower middle class, or upper middle class, they suffer a lot. Because they develop desire to possess these opulent things. There's no satisfaction. It's not when then a king like Dhruva is going to meet the public, he is wearing opulent dresses. So many pearls, necklaces, and jewels and everything. So much opulence. It's not that when he is meeting the poor people, citizens, so the citizens have this desire, oh, I should also have so much jewelry like Dhruva has. No, they were satisfied because they had knowledge. But these people, in modern scenario, we don't have knowledge. Because we don't have knowledge, we don't have satisfaction. We don't have satisfaction, we do prayas. Unfortunately, devotees also get trapped into that. Ten devotees come for Bhakti Vriksha. As it is said now, that we should focus, we are sitting for prasadam with the plate, we should focus what is coming in our plate. Whatever you want, you take it. But somehow we have a tendency to look at others' plate and immediately compare with our plate. This tendency is very deep-rooted because this is coming from envy. You can't eat sweet because you have blood sugar. Your blood sugar level is high. You can't eat sweet. It's okay. So you accept. You accept it. I have accepted, Prabhuji, I can't eat sweet. But I can't accept that other people are eating sweet. That's envy. I'm satisfied at home when I don't eat sweet. But when I come to temple, I see other devotees eating sweet. Then there's a problem. The desire manifests. So then you see 10 people coming in Bhakti Viksha. We compare material things. Even we compare spiritual qualities. Nobody is stopping anyone to advance spiritually. Nobody can stop. If you want to chant 64 rounds every day, you have time. You take time out and somehow squeeze other things and chant 64 rounds. Who will stop you? Another person getting inspired by you chanting 64 rounds, he wants to also chant 64 rounds. So there is no problem. But we don't compare there. If someone is chanting 64 rounds and I'm not able to chant because I don't have time or I don't have a desire, then I say, why to chant 64 rounds? Prabhupada never said to chant 64 rounds. We philosophize our anarthas. We support our anarthas using philosophy. So these 10 people coming, how we compare? What kind of car he has? What kind of a mobile this family has, how many mobiles they have, how many marks his daughter got in, same grade as my son is studying in same grade, we compare. So this comparison mentality is all this modern economic development. Everything. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, next line, he says, advancement of human civilization depends not on industrial enterprise, but on possession of natural wealth and natural food, which is all supplied by Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we may save time for self-realization and success in the human form of body. Natural wealth and natural wealth here, one is the pearls and the jewels and all, cows and the land and the grains and natural food. And natural wealth also can be the qualities. And if you don't have qualities, okay, then we save time for self-realization. So here also, this concept of prayas is being rejected. Prayas is for material things. So the other people, who middle class people who do not have so much money, but they hanker. They hanker and they desire for these opulent things. And they put lot of prayas. And then there are organizations and institutions who are ready to give you loans. The financial institution. So what do you take? You take loan, easy money. And then you think, okay, next 15 years I will repay. For 15 years, your japa is disturbed because you have to repay the loan. It is disturbed. Or until unless you are very highly advanced, it gets affected. Yesterday was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disappearance day, and he said that your material life disturbance will affect your spiritual life. And why material life is disturbed? Because we want everything opulent. Now I cannot afford it because of my karma. So what I do? I take loans. That's what Chanakya Pandit said. Three things should be immediately curbed. One is disease, other is fire, and the third is loan. Immediately should be finished off all three things. And then to repay those EMIs, to pay those EMIs, you have to work hard. We have to depend on dual income, or we have to depend, we have to take two jobs, you know, one full-time job, one part-time job, something, and then we don't have time for reading, hearing and chanting. Exactly what Prabhupada is saying. We should save time for self-realization. Scientists are going to, the astronauts going to Mars and the moon, wasting their life. Very easily we say, but how much time we are wasting, we should focus on that. Okay, these scientists are wasting, let them waste. Am I wasting on a small scale, on an individual level? Yes. So how do I stop that wastage of my life and save time to advance in Krishna consciousness? That's for individuals. Next line of our part. Another aspect of this verse is that Dhruva Maharaj's father Uttanapada would very soon give up attachments for his palaces and would go to the forest for self-realization. From the description of Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, we can make a very thorough comparative study of modern civilization and civilization of mankind in the other millennium, Satyuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga. So because he was satisfied seeing Dhruva taking up the responsibility, even though he was young, he was satisfied and he was peaceful, he was having knowledge. So Uttanapada renounced everything, went to forest for self-realization. What we see nowadays is lack of seriousness for this self-realization. That's what Prabhupada said 50 years back. My disciples are not fearful of Maya or sufficiently fearful of Maya. We play around with Maya. We take very casually these things. Because we somehow get convinced that, oh, I've come to ISKCON, I've now initiated, I've chanting 16 round, I'll go back to Goloka Vrindavan, non-stop. I won't even look at Vaikuntha, what to talk about Brahmaloka or Indraloka. I'll go directly to Goloka Vrindavan. These kind of concepts we have, this is good. But then we should work hard, because Goloka Vrindavan is not cheap. It's not cheap. It will work hard also. But we don't work hard. We get stuck with other things. And it's not that I'm saying that you can't do job or you cannot do other things. Whatever is required is required. It's not that Dhruva Maharaj was sitting and chanting 192 rounds every day. He was doing his work. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we read so many devotees, not that everyone was chanting envious of Haridas Thakur, they were envious of Haridas, or they wanted to be like Haridas Thakur, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, you are a Namacharya. So everyone started chanting 190 rounds, oh, we want to also become Namacharya. No, everyone had their responsibility. Like Shivananda Sen, here he was a manager for Yatra. He got accused by Lord Nityananda and kicked by Nityananda. He was manager. So he was managing the Yatra. Isn't that? He was just sitting and then chanting 160, 192 or 128 rounds. He was doing his service. So every one of us has some service. Depends on the ashram. If someone is a household ashram, he has to earn money. That's okay. That's required. When we go to college for preaching, students say, oh, sir, we don't have time, we don't have time. Then sometime I sit with them. Or if there are like 200 CNA students, I don't take the lecture. I said, okay, let us analyze where my time is going. Oh, from morning to evening college. And finally, when I sit with them and analyze, they come up with the conclusion that 4 to 5 hours every day they are wasting on social media, Facebook, or watching movies. 4 to 5 hours every day. I said, this is what, out of 4 hours or 5 hours, just give me half an hour, chant for 15 minutes and read Bhagavad Gita for 15 minutes. Because they're new, so we start like that. I am taking wastage time. I am not taking your time. So we also have our job, our family, and we say, oh, Prabhuji, I am family man, I have family, or even a householder, forget about householder, even Brahmachari may say, I have this service, this service, this service. Yes, but apart from services, are we sure that we are utilizing all the time properly? If we sit and analyze, we'll realize that lot of time is there, which is non-productive time. On a daily, on a general day, not on a festival is there, Janmashtami is there, services are there, marathon is there, services, that is different. But on a regular day, am I fully utilizing my time? Or I am underutilizing or unutilizing my time. At the end of the day, how much of my time went unutilized? Time is like a river. A river is flowing beside your house. Whatever you can take, that will be utilized. Otherwise it will flow. That water will keep going. It will not wait for you. You cannot say that, wait. Wait for me. I will come after 2 hours. No, water will keep flowing. The time will keep going. That's why these all advanced devotees like Goswamis and all our Acharyas and Prabhupada and all other, they used to sleep less. Their sleeping is not even considered sleeping. And many devotees now also is gone. Few devotees, not many, they sleep, they reduce their sleep like 2 hours, 3 hours and active all day. I know devotees who can sleep for 2, 3, 4 hours and then utilize practically 20 hours in services. This is the sign of advancement. For general mass of public, like for of all of us, Prabhupada said, okay, sleep for 6 hours. 10 to 4, Prabhupada said that. Night means 10 o'clock, morning means 4 o'clock. Prabhupada allowed 6 hours. He is not telling to sleep like Goswamis, 2 hours. He knows our level is not there. And once Prabhupada said that you people cannot chant, okay, chant 16 down. But that does not mean that whole life you chant only 16 down. No, our goal should be to become a Goswami and towards the end of our life we should be chanting more. 64 rounds, 120 rounds, sleeping and eating less. There are 4 things. Ahar, Nidra, Bhe, Methun. So eating and sleeping we have to reduce. And other 2 will gradually reduce by our bhakti. So if we can analyze our time, that will help us. I wanted to jump to another chapter, but somehow we got... Okay, I think we'll stop here. 63rd. No, 62nd we did. 63 onwards, some other devotee can start tomorrow. So anyone wants to add anything, any comments, any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji Dandavas, this is Damodar Anand Das. Thank you very much for very nice lecture and your time and your service. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you. So,
Hare Krishna, thank you Prabhuji.
Mother, you have question?
No, I don't have question. But it's very nice class. You explained very nicely. Thank you. And we try to follow that, utilizing time. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You can all bless me so that I can also utilize my unutilized time. I also have a lot of unutilized time because of my own bad habits.
Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danda Pranam, Agusha Shukla Prabhupada and Gurmaj. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class. Prabhuji, you are talking about the comparison of devotees in the material sense and in the spiritual sense, then how to stop that, Prabhuji, and how to come out of it. I mean, sometimes we compare materially and spiritually compare, I feel like little bit good only because, okay, we can progress by comparing them, not becoming envious. But how to stop comparing materially, Prabhuji? Can you please guide me, Prabhuji?
How to?
Stop comparing with other devotees regarding material things or spiritual things. Like that, Prabhu, you are talking to Prabhu in the class.
Till the time we are affected with lower modes, we cannot stop comparing. See, we have to work on the basics. It's not that most of the time, I had this misconception. I see with devotees also, they discuss, how can I become humble? How can I become non-envious? How can I become... how can I not compare? How can I become less angry? And all this other. And there's a, next chapter, I think 4th or 5th verse, Prabhupada writes in purport, it is not that devotee cannot become envious. Oh, Prabhupada is saying that. We are happy to hear that. Prabhupada says it is not the devotee will not become angry or envious. But how he'll utilize that, that is more important. Again, the concept of it is not the anartha itself which is disturbing. We don't know how to deal with anarthas. Anarthas are there. So how to deal with anarthas, we need to come out of the lower modes. And to come out of the lower modes, we have to come to the higher modes by practice of bhakti. And I think I have already discussed a month or two back that first of all we have to work on the consciousness. And that's a slow process. It's a slow process. It can be fast if we become like Dhruva. So by, like Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, that if you are feeling like finding faults with others, better you have some patience, sit and relax, and think what faults you have. But that is also, I try, trust me, it doesn't work with me. If you tell me to write about my fault, maybe superficially just trying to be falsely humble, I may write one or two lines. But if you tell me to find out faults with other devotees who are staying with me, oh, my entire hard disk will be full. This is the tendency we have. This is because of the lower nature, because of the afflicted. We are afflicted with lower modes. So if we sincerely chant, the only solution, we chant as sincerely as possible. And what is the meaning of sincerity? The meaning of sincerity is not just making faces while chanting. I'm sorry, but devotees sometimes make emotional faces. Whom are we showing the face? Krishna is not interested in that. Sometimes we put so much, that's not sincerity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like, it is not emotion, it is stress on your face. And Krishna will be worried. He's chanting my nectarian holy names. Why is he stressed? Why is the sadhaka stressed so much? And they shake their head, shake their body. That means your mind is not controlled. You cannot peacefully chant. Chanting means just sit peacefully and chant. That is not coming. That is sincerity. Sincere means whatever you have, you put that in chanting. It's like, some sadhu comes to your place, you know, or you meet some sadhu somewhere outside and you want to sincerely serve. If you have $100 in your pocket, give $100. If you have 10,000, give 10,000. If you have 100, you cannot give $10,000. So what you don't have, you cannot give. Sincerity means whatever you have, you just give. Simple heart. That is simple heart. So what we should try to do first and foremost is try to hear the mantra. Not important to shake our head or body or making faces. Hear the mantra. Try to hear the mantra. That's all. And you will see the result will be very soon. You will become oblivious to the world when you are chanting. Out of 1728 Mahamantras which we chant, 16 into 108 every day, minimum 16 rounds we chant. Out of 1728 mantras, start hearing one mantra a day. We'll realize out of 1728, we may not be hearing even 28 mantras. Today morning I was discussing with devotees and they can. You sit and you analyze yourself. Everyone should analyze how much we are hearing. Because if we are hearing our chanting, everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be like Krishna will lay, you know, best path for us. No confusion, no doubt, nothing in life. Everything will go smooth. We have to hear our chanting. Start with few mantras. Okay, in one round of 108 mantras, let me try to hear one or two, 5%, 10%, then 20%. You'll be amazed to see the result. That is the time when we will gradually grow, advance. And then we'll be able to attain the knowledge by reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll get some taste, genuine taste, not the competitive taste, not the show-off taste, but the genuine taste for service, for serving Krishna and Vaishnavas. Not to show, not to compare, not that I will distribute so many books in marathon so that my name will be announced. So all starts from chanting. First thing is chanting. And how chanting? Chanting sincerely, chanting attentively. We hear so many times. Hear. What Prabhupada said, chant and hear. We don't have to get into so much details and nuances, what is attentive chanting, what is sincere chanting, what is flawless chanting and all that, all these word juggleries. Prabhupada said, hear. One devotee asked Prabhupada, what should we do while chanting and what should we think while chanting? Prabhupada said, do not do anything else except chanting and do not think anything. Other devotee said, Prabhupada, my mind gets distracted while chanting. Prabhupada said, you have to chant with your tongue, listen with your ears. Between tongue and ears, how mind is coming? Mind is not located there. So Prabhupada just focusing the mantra, let it come out of the tongue and very closely, just few inches away, let it go back to the ears. Few inches. But in those few inches also we cannot control. If you see anatomically the body structure, tongue and ear is just few inches apart, maybe 3 to 4 inches. That is where the things will start. That is why sometime even after initiation, second initiation, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years have passed in bhakti, why I am not getting taste? Because you never tasted, na? How will you get taste? There is Mahaprasad in front of us. If we don't accept, honor the Mahaprasad and put it on the tongue, how will we taste it? So many times our bhakti life becomes very mechanical. It becomes like another, better than sinful materialistic life, but it becomes also materialistic, well, mechanical. It becomes a routine. You are seeing every day. Morning, afternoon, in evening, you are giving bath, you are feeding him your milk, you are feeding him other prasad, you are dressing Krishna 2-3 times in a day. How is that every time you see you get enchanted? Nava nava rasa. How is that gopis are every day watching morning and evening, they are still not satisfied? When Krishna is returning back to Dwarka, the females, the ladies of the palaces, they are coming on the roofs. And if the word is used, utkantit. Utkantit. Kanta means neck. And ut means with the raised neck, they are trying to see Krishna. How many times we go to take darshan of deities with that kind of mood? Only on festivals. And that too, why? We are not interested in Krishna. Oh, I want to see what Krishna is wearing so that I can tell others I saw Krishna. Why it is not? It will not happen mechanically. There is no shortcut for this. It's basics. We have to work on the basics. Anytime anything happening, problem in our material life or spiritual life, we are not feeling taste. First of all, we don't even realize that we are getting taste or not. But somehow by Krishna's mercy, we are fortunate and we realize that, oh, why am I not getting taste in bhakti? We immediately come back to chanting. Chanting is the barometer. Chanting is a meter for everything in our bhakti. How is my chanting going? That will decide my 22 hours. These 2 hours will decide my 22 hours. Am I hearing my mantra? Imagine if we just hear 10%, 20%, 30%, we start advancing so fast, what to talk of, you know, if someone can hear like 100%, that's highly elevated stage. Very simple. Chant Hare Krishna and hear and be happy. But that hearing is a challenge. I do not know all these other modern things. I do not know scriptures. I know only Prabhupada says this. And I think before also I spoke, I stick to this thing. Chant and hear. The day you chanted and you heard, even little bit, one can feel the energy and enthusiasm, the positive vibrations. And everything you do, you'll be so happy. The other devotee is advancing, you'll be happy. The other devotee is in pain, you will become painful. Your life will be... You will see that your reading, hearing increases, your service, your enthusiasm. You go 8 hours out for book distribution, you don't even distribute one book, you're still happy and satisfied because you chanted. Chanting is so important. That it's not like... Prabhupada is not just said, na, casually. Okay, 99% of our bhakti depends on chanting. Prabhupada didn't make this statement as casual statement. So if 99% of my advancement is dependent on chanting, how much I am focused on chanting? Rest everything is 1%, even though that is required to help us in chanting. So rather than working on superficially that how can I? It's like, you know, if I'm dropped into an ocean, I don't know swimming. I do not know swimming. And someone is, you know, taken me to a helicopter because we are staying, Radharas Bihari temple is just on the beach, Juhu beach. And someone takes me like few miles away and drops me in the ocean. What I will do? I'll try to push myself up because inside if I go, I'll drown. And the waves which are coming, I try to push the waves away from me. So the waves will not bring water to my nose, to my mouth, because it will trouble me and eventually I'll die. That's how I'll do. But that is superficial. What is natural? I should learn swimming. That's all. So I can swim and come back. So we should not try to remove the anarthas. We should not try to work on these things. We should try to work on this is the cause and effect. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, I think yesterday someone of you only posted this. I took all these 25 wonderful statements by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. I was reading. Thank you whoever has posted that. I was reading that because I have read last year this 25 thing. So amazing. And one of the quote Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says that his English is so powerful. I don't remember the dalliance. Basically, if you are more closely associated with material opulences, wealthy lifestyle, opulent lifestyle, your spirit for serving goes down. That means we cannot chant. So these material things affect us. So rather than working on material things and reducing even, you know, like this anarthas, we should work on chanting. If our chanting improves, anarthas will automatically, like this material things increase in our life, our spiritual, the spirit of bhakti will go down. The spirit of bhakti will go down. That is the effect. So similarly, the cause is, if we improve our chanting somehow by somehow or the other, if we try to focus and hear attentively, then these anarthas will subside naturally. Naturally it will subside. Like you might be cooking at home, what you have to do is you have to take a vessel, put some oil or ghee, put some sabji and cover it and switch on the fire. That's all. You are not cooking. You cannot cook vegetable. It is the fire which will do the cooking part. We have to make sure the fire is below the vessel and the vegetable is above the vessel, and everything will be, the system we have to keep in place, it will cook. We eat food, we eat prasad, we don't digest. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, it is I who digest it. Our thing is to eat, and to eat prasad, and to eat whatever is good for our health. So we do our part. I think we discussed this. 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, 10th and 11th verse. Tesham evanukam, sorry. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Our part. I think we discussed. I took a lecture and I discussed this. We have to do our part. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. That's all. Rest is Krishna's part. Yenamam upayanti te. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti. That Krishna's part. We should not take Krishna's service in our hand. We have sufficient to do. And then again, what Krishna says? Because you did, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. What is this priti? Prabhupada has quoted this verse so many times in his lectures. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Lovingly serve Krishna. What is that love? We cannot have love. We don't have love. Love is the highest stage in this 9 stages given by Rupa Goswami. We are barely struggling with Bhajana Kriya, 3rd stage. We are not able to do that. Yeah. See, in this also, the 3rd stage is Bhajana Kriya, 4th is Anartha Nivritti. So many devotees, they ask question. How to be Nivrit? How to become Nivrit from Anarthas? How to get this Anarthas eradicated from our heart? So many devotees, we think that is, no, that is not important. Anartha Nivritti will happen, depends on your Bhajana. That is why it is said, Bhajana Kriya, then Anartha Nivritti. You do Bhajan, Anartha, you cannot reduce Anartha. You cannot remove the darkness from the room. You can only switch on the light. And that light will take care of kicking out the darkness. So Krishna is saying, you do Bhajan. What is that Bhajan? Try to hear the chanting. And then reading and others will automatically follow. And then Krishna says, Tesham evanu kampartham aham agyana jamtamaha. Rest, he is doing everything. I think Dhruva's part or... Yeah, 4th canto Prabhupada writes. In this Dhruva's only. That Krishna is more eager to take us back to spiritual world than we are eager to go back. We are lazy fellows. We don't want to go back. Krishna is more eager to take us back. So Krishna is ready to do everything. We have to do little part. Just chant and hear. We cannot remove anarthas from our heart. That is job of Guru and Krishna. Who killed all the demons coming to Braj? 2 were killed by Balram. So these 2 anarthas are kicked by Guru. Balram is Adi Guru. And rest, everything will be kicked by Krishna. Brajavasi, they didn't do anything. Indra was showering so much rain. Brajavasis were not. They were fearful. Krishna, Krishna, Pahima. They have to just call out Krishna. And the Baka came, Putana. Everyone, whoever demon came. But Brajavasis, they have their, you know, like recorded nothing. Unka recorder chalu ho jata. Their recorder is switched on. And what is that? Krishna, Krishna, save us, save us. That's all. And Krishna has to say. Krishna is taking that responsibility. He is telling also, he has done that also. We don't call out to Krishna. That is the problem. And Krishna will not come. Like Draupadi, when Dushasan brought Draupadi to this Asat Sabha, Asat Sabhaya, Kunti is saying. So Draupadi is trying to look at her, she looked first to husbands. Husbands are already sold out. They are servants. They cannot do anything. Then she looked to Dhritarashtra. He just hung his head down. Vidura, Bhishma, nobody. Nobody could, Kripacharya, nobody protected. Then all, now why Krishna is, it is said by Acharya, Acharya says Krishna is sitting with Rukmani in Dwarka. And Rukmani is seeing this, that Draupadi is in difficulty. For a woman, the most important thing is her chastity. Everything else she can, you know, forgive, but that is most important thing. So the Dwarka, this was sitting. So Rukmani is telling, my dear Lord, why are you not going and protecting? So Krishna says, oh, she is not calling, why should I go? I don't want to interfere unnecessarily. It's their personal family matters. But she is your devotee. But she does not need me. Because she is not calling. And then Krishna is kind of, one Acharya explains, Krishna is kind of making excuses. Oh, I am sitting in Dwarka. Hey, this is happening in Hastinapur. How can I go far? Even if I take Dwarka with all my horses, with all my strength, I cannot reach Dwarka so fast. I cannot reach Hastinapur so fast. And Draupadi still, now Dushasana started pulling the sari. Draupadi is, you know, trying to restrain her sari with her hands. And then finally, she put the sari in the mouth, between the teeth. And still, Dushasana is having a strength of 10,000 elephants. Draupadi alone cannot do. And Krishna is sitting in Dwarka, not coming. Then if you read, then Draupadi calls out to Krishna. Oh Gopijan Vallabha, O Lord of the Gopis, O Dwarkavasi, O Dwarkadish, please protect. I am a soul completely surrendered to you. And then she raises her hands, giving up. Okay, let this rascal Dushasana take away my chastity. I don't mind. I'll only surrender to Krishna. She didn't think anything. And Krishna was suddenly absent from Dwarka. And Rukmani is looking, where is Krishna? And Krishna is here in Hastinapur, protected Draupadi. Draupadi was not calling. What can Krishna do? So when we face any trouble, we don't call out Krishna sincerely from our heart. We just do lip service. I'm telling my case. I'm not talking anyone of you. I'm talking my case. I try to struggle and then do some manipulation and then try to, you know, situate myself again into peaceful situation when the storm comes in my life. Whether it's material, spiritual, I try to do many things. But what is the best thing? Sincerely call out for Krishna. And how can we do that? By chanting and by hearing. With the faith. But our faith is also not there. There's another problem. So when we chant and hear our mantras, gradually we'll develop faith in Krishna. That's why our faith is Adho Shraddha. We came to bhakti with Adho Shraddha. It's the initial stage of faith. Intense faith will become, the faith will intensify after the stage of Nishtha. There's 9 stages are nothing but different stages of faith. When you have 100% faith in Krishna, that is Prema. Then you are at the stage of Prema. Nishtha, Prabhupada says, is 75%. We are struggling with the faith. We don't have faith. We get affected. Doesn't matter, I am Brahmachari, you are household. Doesn't matter, we get affected because we don't have strong faith in Krishna. So that everything will come just by hearing the Mahamantra. So we can, now please don't ask that how can we develop faith. We cannot develop faith also. We have to chant and hear. And by hearing, when mantra will go through the door of ears, reach to the platform of heart, then heart will get cleansed. And when heart will get cleansed, the original nature of soul will come. And what is the original nature of soul? Sachidananda. All the good qualities will manifest and anarthas will gradually subside and faith will intensify and love of Godhead will gradually arouse in our heart. That's all. Chanting. Am I making some sense?
Yeah, Prabhu, very, very nice explanation. So beautiful examples that you have given, how, you know, we have to just leave to Krishna and everything is taken, and then, you know, just keep only focus on chanting, like you give an example of cooking the food, and so many beautiful examples, Prabhu. Thank you so much for that such detailed explanation, what we have to focus and what we have to leave to Krishna. That is really very nice explanation, Prabhu. Thank you so much once again, Prabhu. Hari Bol.
So shall we stop? I think it's time and you all have to go to different things to do.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, Hare. For such a wonderful class today. We are very grateful to you and really look forward to having your association again in future. Was there another question for Prabhuji?
Yes, it's not a question, it's just a comment. Prabhu, this last part of your lecture, I just thought was really, you know, where you were stressing on the fact that it is Krishna who is doing everything, is, you know, we just asking him, requesting him, beseeching him by calling out his name. So I'm just trying to say that it was really so inspiring. And I would, even though you don't know me, I would just request that you please say a special prayer for me that I can become determined to follow, you know, Prabhupada's instructions for at least 16 rounds a day without fail, and somehow get that urgency, which I lack terribly, you know. So this is a request to you that even though you don't know me, if you could simply, you know, put in a special prayer for me to Krishna that I somehow or other come to this standard and do so with a sense of urgency, which I really lack, you know. So, and once again, I just really want to tell you how much I appreciate, you know, this very, very inspiring last part of your talk. Yeah, I especially appreciated the cooking analogy. You know, we're not doing the cooking; it's the fire doing the cooking. We just have to sit on the flame. You know, that was really nice. So, anyway, that's my humble request to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. As the instruction, I will pray to Shishi Radha Raj Bihari.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Please pray for me and bless me. Whatever I speak, I just speak from my lips so that it can also go in my ears and deeply into my heart, and I can also try to practice little bit what I speak. My life will be success.
Hi,
so I think we stop here.
Vancha Kalsarup Kalsha Krapa Sindhu Pyari Pacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnavi Pyo Namu Namaha Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Chakravarti Prabhuji Ki Jai Hare Krishna.